Well, it's good to be here again. Amen. Haven't gotten rid of me yet, I guess. That's a good sign. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Been enjoying some good fellowship and some good food. Well, we had some good food yesterday. We got to get in with the service people there, getting to eat some food there, the military. And I asked the pastor, so I'm in the Lord's army. Can I eat too? He let me, amen. So that was good. And then someone provided a really wonderful meal out tonight before the service, and that was a blessing. Luke chapter 11. All right, I told you I like to give you titles, so here's the title of the message this evening: Ask for a Loan. Ask for a Loan. You'll see where we're going with this in a moment here. We're here in Luke chapter 11. I love this passage of Scripture. It's got a lot here. I've got a couple different messages I like to preach out of this. But we're going to focus on this one here tonight, and we're going to look here in verse number 5. It says, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Now he's given a contrast here. "And I say unto you, ask, shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, shall be opened." Now you're saying, okay, that's a great passage of Scripture. Don't see anything about missions in there. Well, you haven't heard the message yet. So we're gonna get in the Bible here and see what God's got for us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I'm thankful that you are an all-sufficient God. You've got everything we need. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me in some way to get this thought across this evening, that you can meet our needs and you're willing to give us what we need. And, Lord, I pray that you'll just challenge us all to be people about prayer and praying for the right things and believing that you'll give us what is needed. And Lord, help as we apply this passage and these truths to missions. I think, Lord, that it'll be quite clear what we're trying to get at here in a few moments. I just, again, pray that you'd do a work in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, I need something from you tonight, and I pray for the strength and the wisdom to be able to speak, Lord, because I know I have nothing of my own to give to your people. And I'm praying, Lord, that you'd lend me something, Lord, and Holy Spirit, that you'd be here and speak to hearts. We ask that we'd be encouraged. And again, just meet the needs, Lord. I'm excited about what you've got in your word, and I pray it'll be a help. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When a lady is trying to bake something, and she's a little bit short on sugar, and she needs a cup of sugar, what does she do? Goes to the neighbor and says, "Hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar?" Right? She goes and borrows the sugar. When guys, if we're trying to fix something and maybe we don't have a step ladder, neighbor's got one. What do you do? "Hey, neighbor," hope you're on good terms with them, right? You go and say, "Hey, can I borrow your ladder?" "Oh yeah, sure," and you get the ladder. When people want to go buy a car and they don't have enough money, they're short on money, they go to the bank and they get what? They get a loan. Why do they go to the bank and get a loan? Because the bank has more money than they do. So they're going to the place, they're going in the same way with the sugar, same way with the ladder. We go to someone who's got what we need because we don't have it, and we try it, we get a loan. We borrow it. And the intention is that we pay it back, right? That's what you're supposed to do if you ever borrow something, by the way. And so I want to explain here that God has everything in life that we need. Everything. When it comes to missions, He's got everything that's needed. He's got the ability that a missionary would need. He's got the power a missionary would need. He's got all the money in the world. And He likes to give it to people. And so the people can give it back to Him. Amen? And so God has everything. And we are very needy people. The problem is sometimes we don't realize how needy we are. We think we got it. Or we're pretty content just being right where we are. And we can't be content. And I love this passage of Scripture because in this passage there are three friends. And if you notice them here with me again, you see in verse number 5 it says, "And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine." See, it's the three different friends there. "In his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." So get the picture. Here is the first friend is a hungry friend. He's needing help. He's traveling. He comes by to the second friend's house, and he's hungry. He wants something to eat. He goes to his friend's house, and the second friend, he has nothing to give to him. And so the second friend, he's the praying friend. He's seeking help. He doesn't have anything. He'd like to help his friend. He doesn't have anything. See, he goes to the mighty friend who's willing to give some help. Well, not originally, initially, but he does give some help. Okay, so get the idea. Three friends. There's one who's needing help. There's one who would like to help, but he has no ability to help. He'd like to be able to help, so he wants to do something for this friend, so he goes to the third friend, he goes to the mighty friend, and gets something from that friend, so that he can bring it back and give to this friend. Now, if you see where we're going with this, I think this would be a help. I think this would be a blessing. And I want to see a few things that we need to ask God for a loan for. We need to ask for a loan. We need to go get a loan. First one is this. Number one, here's one request we need to ask the Lord for is lend me a burden. Lend me a burden. Here, he's saying, friend, lend me 3 loaves. He needed some loaves of bread to give to his friend. You know what we need? We need a burden for other people. Sometimes we don't have a burden. Sometimes we can walk by people, not care about them, not think about them. We would never say we don't care about them, but we really don't. You know, there's other times where we're really sensitive to the needs of others, and we look at someone and say, wow, they need the gospel. What's the difference? Sometimes we're a little closer to the Lord than other times. It's not that the Lord has changed. It's just that our burden has changed. We've been speaking about missions. This is the fourth message so far. We had 3 yesterday. We've got 1 today. We've got a couple more left. Maybe God's been stirring you up a little bit and saying, well, you know, you're lacking that burden a little bit. Do you lack a burden? If so, why not be honest with God? It's okay to be honest with God. We're going to be coming back to this passage of Scripture over and over again here in Luke chapter 11. So if you would keep a finger there, I've got other places in Scripture that I'd like to turn to this evening. And so sometimes you'll be able to keep up with me. Sometimes you won't be able to. But I'm going to go over here to Philippians chapter number 2 next. Philippians chapter number 2. This is a passage of Scripture that God has used in my life many times. And I remember early on when I was just getting right with the Lord how much this verse meant to me. And I'll explain it to you in a moment. But let's read chapter 2, verse number 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." You get that? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know what we need to be? We need to be honest with God. We like to pretend that God doesn't know what's going on. We kind of hide things. You can't hide anything from God. We like to hide our attitudes. We think if we ignore it, then God's going to ignore it. He doesn't ignore it. Let me give you an example of this. I remember when I was in Bible college, I had gone to Bible college, you know, and I didn't grow up living for the Lord. I grew up, we kind of went to some churches that weren't really strong. And I just remember when I was 17, I was about done with church, so I just quit church. We went to all sorts of different types of churches, and, you know. I tell you, when I was 20 years old, I got right with God. I went back to church, and God really got a hold of me. And then when I was, it was 2 years later, God called me to preach. Then went off to Bible college. When I got to Bible college, I had a lot to learn. I had a lot of excess baggage. But I got to Bible college, and I wanted to serve the Lord. And I'm thinking, you know, I'd like to go start a church back in the area where I was from. I'd like to go be an evangelist somewhere and rally other people around and get them all stirred up, because an evangelist is the one that preached the night that I got right with God. An evangelist, the same evangelist, 2 years later came back to a church, and he was the one that I got called to preach on. I'm thinking, well, there's got to be some people out there that maybe the Lord will be, you know, pleased to use me to help that way, and maybe I could be an evangelist. Or there's a great need back in near our home area where a church could be started. So I'm off to Bible college, and I'm thinking maybe evangelist, maybe a pastor. And, you know, I'm saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. He says, really? Yeah, I'll do anything you want. He said, what about missions? Well,
Can I be honest with you? Because I had to be honest with God. I didn't want to be a missionary. And the reason I didn't want to be a missionary is because I thought God might send me to a place like Africa. And I was really bothered. One Sunday night after church, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I went back. You know, they usually have a little fellowship time after evening service, and I'm like, no more fellowship. I'm going back. I went to the dorm, went up to the loft. I got my Bible. I'm reading through my Bible. I'm praying, and I just said, Lord, I got to be honest with you. You already know this, and I don't know if this is okay to tell you, but I don't want to be a missionary. And I open up to this verse. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I said, Lord, I'm just being honest. You already know this, and I know it's a sin because I don't want to, so please forgive me. But I'm trying to be honest with you. And I said, but you said here in the Bible that you would work in my heart to will, that means to want, and to do of your good pleasure. And I said, Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, work in my heart to want to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm just being honest. I know it's not right. You say, can you pray like that to God? I don't know. I was dumb enough to do it. Why not be honest? 2 weeks later, we had a missionary come through. I'm sitting in the front row. I'm at missionaries preaching, and I'm just under so much conviction. By the time at the end of the service, I'm like, I hit the altar. Lord, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary. And he didn't call me. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I got it settled, though. God worked in my heart and life to be willing. He didn't leave me in the missions at that point because I still had a lot of lessons to learn. I had a couple other ministry experiences, and finally God called me to missions. And you know, because you already listened to me, you already know where God called me. He called me to Africa, the very place that I didn't want to go. And when we had to leave, 2012. He didn't want to leave. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Someone might be sitting in here and saying, I don't want to be a missionary. Why don't you just be honest and tell God, Lord, I don't want to be, but I'd be willing to be if you want me to be. Let's take this a step further, because I know not everyone in here is going to be a missionary, not a foreign missionary. Let's be honest tonight. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you don't like to give out gospel tracts to strangers? How many of you don't like to go and knock on doors not knowing who's behind that door, not knowing what they're going to say. Looking at you like, what are you doing in my house? What are you doing trying to give me that piece of paper? You one of those God people? You one of those religious nuts? Let's be honest tonight. How many of you say, well, my personality, I'm not very outgoing. You know, you might not believe me. I'm not very outgoing. Now, I've learned that when I get up and preach, I better at least not be dead, dry, and boring so that people all go to sleep. I don't like people sleeping on me, so I've learned that I've got to come out of myself when I'm preaching. We were at supper tonight. Who did the least of the talking of the three men? They knew who it was. It was me, because naturally I am more shy and more reserved. Let's just be honest with God tonight. Lord, I don't want to witness. I don't want to give out tracts. My personality's too shy. I can't do it. Why don't we just be honest? And then what I challenge you, once you do that, tell them you're sorry. And claim this verse. Lord, you said, you promised, and you can't lie. You said you'd work in my heart to will, that means to want to do it, and to be able to do it. God worked in my heart to want to be a missionary, and he worked in my life to be able to do it. God can help you. God can strengthen you. God can use you. And what we need to do is do what this, you know, there are people out there who need the gospel, but they're not going to get it because this friend right here is not going to get a burden. So I can go to the mighty friend and say, Lord, please lend me a burden. Think he'd answer that prayer? Oh, yeah. Give me that burden. Pray for a burden. Remember, Jesus was given that parable there, and he was saying, you know, this man, he's got to go and he's got to ask this guy. And it's a midnight guy saying, man, you know, come back later. I don't feel like it. I'm in bed. He didn't even get up and give him just because he was friend, just because he was being bothered. He finally got up and said, will you go away now? That was kind of the idea. And then the contrast was at the last two verses that we read, and Jesus said, and ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He said, it's no bother to me. I'll give you what you need. Do we believe that? Let's be honest with the Lord tonight. Lord, lend me a burden. You know, we know how we can get a burden. I've mentioned it already. You want a burden? Go on a missions trip. Oh, that'll change you. Go to a developing country and see how the rest of the world lives. America, I was talking with Holly yesterday. America is not reality. This is not reality. Go knock on some doors of people you don't know. We said, go visit a nursing home. Go visit some people there. Go help make some visits on the bus route. Go visit some of the homes of those children that come to church. See how they live. See their needs. You'll get a burden. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:51, he said, mine eye affecteth my heart. When you start seeing a need, we mentioned this yesterday, you start seeing a need, it'll start affecting you. And then we need to expect that God will give us that burden and then pray for that burden. Let me go quickly to the next point, number two. So, Lord, first of all, friend, lend me a burden. Secondly, lend me boldness. You need boldness? Anybody in here timid? I already told you, naturally, I'm timid. I can make myself come out. It's just over there. God's helped me. Help me be able to, you know, be like when I am when I get in the pulpit. But naturally, I'm just more reserved. I'm more shy. You know, just let me be in the corner. But even when I preach, I've got to ask. And so often, I'm praying, Lord, lend me 3 loaves. I don't know how many Sundays I've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I got to preach Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I need 3 loaves today. Sometimes I looked at it another way. Lord, I need physical strength. I need your power. I need the right message. You could put those 3 any way you want. Lord, I need some loaves. Are you crazy? I'm crazy. That's okay. But I'm crazy for the Lord. At least I'm a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. Amen? And what we need to do is come to the Lord and say, Lord, please lend me something to give to others. Lend me some boldness. We can pray for boldness. You know what happens when we do? Turn to Acts chapter number 4. I think you're going to find out. Acts chapter number 4. Look there in verse number 29. The disciples, the apostles here had been threatened. And now it says in verse number 29, it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be threatened. I've been threatened before. I don't like to be threatened. You know, I kind of, you know, like living. I like my health and all those things. But they were threatened, and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. See what they did? They fought back with prayer, and they're asking very specifically for something. They needed boldness. Why? Their lives were in jeopardy if they preached. I'm glad that when I go out and knock on doors, you know, I might get the door slammed in my face occasionally. That hasn't even happened for a while. I'm thankful for that. But I haven't had someone pull out a gun and point it right between the eyes and say, get onto my doorstep or I'm going to kill you. Hasn't happened yet. It might soon. I don't know. But I do know one thing. Their lives were on the line and they're praying for boldness. Look there in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. You see, God begins to move when we pray in faith. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Friend, lend me some boldness. I need some boldness. I think we all need it sometimes, don't we? And we can go to the Lord and ask, and we can be confident He's going to answer. We can come and say, Lord, I'm not very bold. I don't really want a witness. I don't want to go knocking on doors. I know the church has a visitation program, and, you know, that's good for those guys, but, you know, that's just not me, you know. Why not you? Well, I don't have that personality. Well, you know, friend, lend me a burden. Friend, lend me some boldness. And notice that boldness came by a filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, God doesn't fill dirty vessels. Maybe you say, well, I've prayed for boldness before, but I didn't get it. Well, maybe God didn't give it because there was a whole bunch of sin in your life, and He didn't want to fill you with His Holy Spirit because you were all dirty inside. Listen, if I'm going up into the cupboard and I want a glass to put some water in, I pick a glass up, and I'm like, ooh, that thing is pretty dirty. I'm going to set that one aside. I'm going to pick another one up, and hopefully that one's clean. And by the way, I'm going to inspect that one too. When I find a clean glass, that's what I'm going to fill up. That dirty one, I'm not using that. God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel. Let me ask you, do you have sin in your life this evening? Do you have something you know is wrong and you've been playing with it, you've been hiding it, you've been coddling it, you've been hanging on to it, you just won't confess it, you won't forsake it, you won't get rid of it? Listen, we can have missions conference, you know, every night for the next 5 months.
And that's going to change nothing as long as you don't give up that sin. Because God can't use you. God's not going to speak to you about what to give. He's not going to speak to you about all sorts of other things. And He's not going to empower you. He's not going to be able to use you until you confess that sin that you've been hanging on to. If we purge ourselves from these, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21 says that there will be a vessel meet for the Master's use. We'll be fit. But if we're listening to the wrong things, and we're talking about the wrong things, and we're watching the wrong things, and we're surfing on the internet to the wrong places, how on earth can we expect God's going to use us and fill us? We're not even interested in souls. We're not interested in a burden. We're not interested in boldness. We're not going to be interested much in prayer. It could be this evening that you need to be asking for a burden. You need to be asking for boldness. But it could be also that you need to be asking God to forgive you of sins so that He can begin to work in you and He can begin to work through you and can use you in this area of missions. And God can have His will and His way accomplished in this conference in your life. So first of all, we see God says that we can ask and say, lend me a burden. I'm lacking one. I don't really like witnessing. I don't like giving out those tracts, but would you please work in me to both will and to do? Think He'll answer that one? Think He will. And we can say, lend me some boldness. Think He'll give you that one? As you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, you confess that sin, God gives you a filling of the Holy Spirit. He'll also, with that filling of the Holy Spirit, that gives you boldness. And then thirdly, another thing we can ask, lend me a blessing. I've kind of already touched on this before. Let me ask you. You ever find yourself at a loss about what to say to folks? I mean, I've got a plan of salvation that I like to use. In fact, I don't necessarily use the same thing every time. It's I let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me to which passages that people need. I think it's good to have your arsenal full so you know which weapon to pull out. Right? I think it's good that we study up the Bible and know, but look, I don't know a total stranger. I don't know all of their needs. I don't know which verses they need the most. There's some that, of course, we're going to use with all. I understand that, but there are times that we just find ourselves at a loss. I don't know what to say in this situation. Lord, help. Lend me a blessing. Because a friend of mine is coming his journey. He's come seeking something from me. Or he needs something. And look what it says there. I go back to Luke chapter 11 if you're there. He says in verse number 6, he says, I have nothing to set before him. I've told you so often when I'm trying to prepare a message or trying to decide what to preach, it's Lord, I have nothing. You know, I come to this church, I'm praying, Lord, I don't know all the folks here. I don't know all the needs here. Yeah, I've got some sermons. I've got the Bible. And I've got the Holy Spirit, amen. But I've got to pray and say, Lord, please, lend me a blessing. Give me, I have nothing. Give me what they need. And it's that way when you go to talk to that one person about the Lord that you're just not sure what to say. God will give you something for those others. Remember when I was pastoring Nebraska, we had a neighbor. She was a Roman Catholic lady who lived across the street. When I say in Nebraska, it was a little tiny town. In fact, when you pulled into town, the population sign said 22. I mean, we had more cattle than we had people. We were out in the sand hills. It was ranch country and all that. And yeah, okay, so all right, here we are, Lord. I'm out here, and in fact, there were so many cattle around that when my wife was expecting our third child, she looked at our oldest, Sarah. She was not quite 2 and a half at the time. She said, so, Sarah, what do you want, a brother or a sister? What do you want mommy to have? And she said, a cow.
And my wife said, I might look like a cow, and I certainly feel like a cow, she said, but I'm not going to have one of those. Oh, we're out there. Anyway, Betty, she's getting up there in years, and she'd had some bad experiences with the previous pastors, a couple of previous pastors. And I'd have to say that from what I understood of the situation, a couple of those people didn't quite rub her the right way, and it wasn't necessarily her fault. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know, how am I going to help her? You know, how is she going to listen to me? I'm just like another one of those Baptist preachers again, you know? And I remember just praying, Lord, you know, help me know what to say, what to do. She looked over and noticed that her lawn was getting pretty tall. I don't know what's going on there. So I went out and got the lawnmower and cut the grass. Next thing I know, a few days later, I'll tell you, it's across the street is where she lived. A few days later, I got a check in the mail from her. She mailed a check. Thank you. And returns, no, I didn't do this for money. I was just trying to be a help and a blessing. Well, the reason why she hadn't gotten the grass cut was because she'd gotten sick. Next thing we know, she's in the hospital. Heard she's got cancer. Drove down, as you know, we were quite a ways from about anything. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a gas station in town. We didn't have a store in town. There was a bar, but didn't go there. And so we had to go down to Broken Bow. That's where we went down to the hospital. I went down to visit her. And, Lord, I don't know what to say to her. She had a bad run-in. She's got cancer. I don't know how long she's got to live. I don't know what to say to her. Get down there, there's all sorts of other people. It wasn't conducive to really just lay out the plan of salvation the way it was with everyone else visiting. I'm just like the total stranger in the first place, and read a couple of Psalms. Didn't feel like it was quite the time to get into the plan of salvation. I left. I was pretty discouraged. I said, Lord, I drove an hour to get here, and I'm going to drive an hour back, and I didn't even get to really accomplish what I was trying to do. It was a Saturday, and you know, I don't know, it was a week or so later, whatever it was. I heard that she wasn't doing well. Still in the hospital. And the Lord said, why don't you go down and see her? I'm like, Lord, it's a Saturday afternoon, getting into Saturday evening. He said, you know, I'm a pastor. He said, you know what pastors do? They have to preach three times the next day. You need to get study a little bit. You need to go down and see her. But Lord, I'm a pastor. I got to study. You go down and see her. He won, thankfully. It's sad when we don't let him win. I'm really glad he won. I went down. I'm praying the whole way. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if she's going to be there. I don't know who's going to, if someone else is going to be there. I don't even know what to say to her. How do I begin? Where do I start with this lady? And I got in there, and I just got there. And she was smiling, you know, in the sense of happy to see me. And I said, Betty, you know, a little small talk. I said, Can I just share with you how I know I'm going to heaven? God gave me what I needed to start, and it went from there. She prayed to receive Christ as her Savior that evening, and she looked and said, she was kind of choked up. She says, I didn't know what I was going to do with all those sins. You know, she'd been faithful to her church, but she knew she hadn't received forgiveness of sins. Because churches can't forgive sins. She was missing Christ. The next day, she slipped into a coma. A couple days later, she was dead. I'm glad I listened. I didn't know what to say. So you're a pastor. Well, too bad. Sometimes you still don't know what to say. But I knew who would.
Friend, she needs the gospel. I don't know what to say. Would you give me something to give to her? I remember sitting out in the back porch with my daughter on the back step, just praying and crying and saying, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do about Betty before we went down. I'm just being honest with you this evening. I wish I was always that sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I haven't. Haven't always been. Sometimes we don't know what to say. We can ask. And before you even get it sometimes, you just go. And you expect He's going to show up and give you what you need. Lend me a burden. Lend me boldness. Lend me a blessing. And let me just quickly say this one. Lend me some bread. You know what bread is? What's bread slang for? Some money. Isn't it funny? We call money everything. We call it cabbage. We call it moolah. We call it bread. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm almost done, so don't worry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 10. We'll begin there. Bread, of course, you know, is physical provision. And many times it's used for money in our society. And I just want to challenge you. Why not ask God to give you a little something that you can give back to Him? Now, we're in chapter 8. Pause there. Look over in chapter 9 real quick. Didn't intend to say this, but I think it's very important. Chapter number 9, verse number 7. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. A lot of times we focus on that last part of the verse, but really, I think the crux of that verse is found in the first part. Let every man according as he purposeth in his heart. That word purpose means to make a decision. It's not just to make a decision, but it's to choose one thing before another. When it comes to giving, okay, I've heard people say you don't look at your budget and decide what you're going to give. I think you do. I think you look at your budget. God gets the tithe. But this is how I think you should look, because this is what this verse is teaching. You purpose in your heart. You're going to, listen, 10% is God's. Then you give an offering to God. Amen. You say, well, I got the rest 90% for me. No, it's still God's. He's just letting you use it. And that's why we're called stewards. Stewards are managers. Stewardship isn't giving. Stewardship is managing. And if we manage that 90% right, we can give a little bit more back to the Lord. Heard a little story about a little girl named Mary. I think she was about 5 years old. And she had 10 pennies. And she was going to decide how she's going to give these things out. And her parents taught her about tithing. She had her 10 pennies. She put the first one, and she said, this one's for Jesus. And then this one's, you know, for this, and this one's for this, and this one. She's going through all, and she gets to another one. She said, and this one's for Jesus. And her mom said, you already gave one to Jesus. She said, no, that was His. This one is because I want to give it to Him. She was making a choice. She was purposing. She was choosing. I could use it for this. But instead of using it for this, I'm going to give it to God. That's really the idea of purposing. And I think it's really wise that we look at our budgets. And that's why I think it's really wise that we understand what a budget is and control the rest of that 90%. The Bible has a lot to say about money. I found that out when I'm studying the book I wrote, Money by the Book. Wow, God, there's a lot in the Bible about money.
purpose. Lord, I'm going to do without this. That's called sacrifice. So I can give this. Now go back to chapter 8, because I've heard folks say that, you know, you give something. You don't have it, but give it anyway. You know, I've never read in the Bible where God said we should go into debt to give. Haven't seen it. In fact, I've got the Bible to back this up. We're in chapter 8, look at verse 10. It says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to before it a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it." Talking about giving. He says, "That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted, according to the man that a man," what's that next word? "Hath," that means has, "and not according to that he hath not." We give according to what we have. You can't give what you don't have. People sometimes get very frustrated because they're making these huge promises and God didn't tell them to make it. And they're going into debt. They can't pay their bills, but they're supporting, you know, all these missionaries. I don't see that. But there's something I do see. Someone here's got a need. I want to help that friend. I go to my friend and say, "I have nothing. Friend, lend me." Years ago, before I went to Bible college, I was working in an engineering office. And I was underpaid. I know everyone says that. I really was underpaid. I was quite underpaid. I was working through a temporary service, and other people were making, I mean, a lot more than what I was making. And, you know, it just kind of got to me, and I'm just, man, Lord, I want a raise. I want a raise. And I just got convicted about being greedy. I know, maybe you've never been there before, being greedy or not, but I said, Lord, please, all right, you give me a raise, I'll give it all to you. All the raise. In addition to what I'm already giving. I'm still going to tithe off of what I give. But if you give me a raise, I'll give whatever you give to me. I'm going to give it to you. Say, why'd you do that? I don't know. Just tired of being greedy. I figured if I made a promise like that, I'd have to stick to it, you know. So I made that promise, and I got a raise. I got a 55% raise. Woo-wee. Say, what'd you do with it? I gave it. Are you nuts? I don't know. I made a promise. I didn't have it. You see, they didn't give what they didn't have. But I asked somebody for it. And he gave it. So I still gave my tithe off of what I was making, and that 55%, the whole thing. That was kind of fun. And that church back at home when we had, you know, these, you know, envelopes, okay, I'll give some to the building fund, some to the general fund, some to missions, you know, I just had fun doing that. I know some different churches do it different ways, but that's how our church did it back then. I didn't know, I just, so why'd you do that? God answered my prayer. And then when I was going off to Bible college, my car broke down. And it was going to cost me more to fix the car than I had paid for the car. Like, oh, what am I going to do? I got a phone call. I put some of these stories in that book because God gets the glory. I get a phone call. Dave, we got you a car. You what? It wasn't a brand new car. It was an old car. But I got a car. And I drove off to Bible college in a car that God had given me. Do you know why I think God gave me that car? I'd given to him. Amen? Say, you're a great Christian? Oh, no. You're a great giver? I don't think so. I'm just glad that there's been a few times where I've actually listened to the Lord. If God doesn't expect us to give something we don't have, then there's a need. There's a need for Bibles. Lord, I don't have it right now. Well, we can go and do the biblical thing, and we can purpose in our heart, Lord, can I manage a little bit more here? Do without this? You know, there's a lot of people drive a lesser car, live in a smaller house, and all of that things, you know, so they could do a little bit more for missions, a little bit more for... We can do that biblical thing. But why not use this principle too, Lord? You got it. Lend me, please. Friend of mine. It's exciting, isn't it? I could say more. Let me just close with this. Loans are expected to be paid back. Ask God for what you need. And when God gives it, do something with it. Give me a burden. Here's the burden. Go out and visitation. When do you guys go out? Go out on Tuesday nights, except for tomorrow night. We're backsliding because we're in a missions conference. No, we're not backsliding. We're getting charged up to do more. Amen? And if Tuesday nights don't work for you, Saturday at 10. And I bet if that didn't work for you and you needed a visit, pastor might just be able to come up with something for you. And if you don't know what to do and you don't know how to talk, he might even be able to help you, put you with someone who does know how to talk. And you don't have to do anything except for go and silently pray and learn. Amen? Lord, I need some boldness. Go. Expect God to meet the need. Lord, I need something to give to that person. I don't know what to say. I'm going to go. You're going to have to give me something to say. Lend me a blessing. And lend me some bread. If you don't like the slang, lend me a balance in my checkbook. Give me a little bit more, please, that I might be able to give to you. Isn't God good? I told you that passage had something to do with missions. Do you need a loan tonight? Are there some things that you need to get a loan for? Well, let's go to God's bank and ask Him. Might be good to start by being honest. Lord, I don't want to give. I don't want to go to the mission field. I don't want to go witnessing. I don't want to give out tracts. At least be honest, confess it, and then say, Lord, but you said you'd make me willing. You'd work in my heart both to will and to do. Lord, I need boldness, but I'm not filled with the Spirit because I got some sin in my life. I'm going to confess it and get it taken care of. Lord, please forgive me of that. What do you need to do tonight? I think there's some decisions that need to be made tonight. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Musicians will come, and in just a moment we'll pray and ask the Lord to work. And then when the musicians play, I hope that you'll come and talk to the Lord about what He's talked to you. Father, I thank You for Your love, Your faithfulness. I'm thankful for this account in Scripture. Lord Jesus, You put this here. You said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Lord, we've got some needs this evening. Help us to be honest. Confess our sin and ask You to work in our lives to will and to do. And Lord, that You'll provide what we need to be a blessing and a help to others, Lord. I just pray You'd give some enough faith to
trust you for what they need tonight. Lord, I'm sure an important decision needs to be made. It could be the difference between a mission field being reached and a mission field not being reached, between someone being saved and not being saved. Please get the honor and glory. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've worked in my life. I'm sorry I haven't always been sensitive to your leading, but it's been exciting when I have, and I pray that others will find that same excitement. We ask in Jesus' name.